Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of mega. A comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he f*** but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I, y'all can do it, y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the
be-
okay,
best
never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Live from the Ray Horseman Studios in North Hollywood, California. Welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, returning on the saxophone right there, it's our holiday go-to guy, house band Jorge Reyes here at Ray Horseman Studios. It's Christmas Eve, and you know what that means. A Christmas Eve vacation show.
Yay!
Paula Poundstone, welcome.
Thank you so much. Adam, I really love these vacation shows because it's just you and me. It's
right.
Just quality you and me time.
Concentrated time that you and I get to spend together. And that's, you know, it's rare to get that, especially over the holidays. Are you feeling in the holiday spirit? Are you doing holiday things?
I am. I love this time of year.
Yeah?
Like, I was just in New York, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a second? Because you were at Carnegie Hall in New York.
I was at Carnegie Hall with...
With Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of months ago...
Yeah.
I was talking to the producers of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and I said, you know, I come from New York, so it'd be great if I could play Carnegie Hall again, and they told me I wasn't in, and I commiserated with you, and you said, yeah, I'm not invited to that one either.
I said that?
You did say that. And then, this week... I look on Facebook, and then there's all these pictures of Carnegie Hall with Paula Poundstone in it.
Yeah, I was in
Peter
Carnegie
Gross
Hall.
With Peter Faith Saley, two New York-based panelists.
I was on the Carnegie Hall show with Faith Saley and Peter Gross Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
And then this weekend I was driving around thinking, well, my eyes must have deceived me because Paula said she wasn't on that show, and... You were, in fact, on that show, Paula.
I don't remember ever telling you that I wasn't going to be on that show.
There's so much that you don't remember.
Yeah.
But we talked about the context that, like, you know, I played Carnegie Hall once myself.
Yeah. Yeah, you were on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yes, with you.
I don't remember that.
Well, it was the first time the show ever played Carnegie Hall. It was kind of a big deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. How did you do?
I won. How'd you do?
No, I won that night.
I know you did.
Yeah, I did.
If anybody remembers the Carnegie Hall show from like 10 years ago. No, it was like 8 years ago.
No, I won
Mo
that
Rocca
night.
With Mo Rocca and Paula Poundstone and Adam Felber. Brian Williams was our guest that night.
Yeah.
And you won that night.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I got to tell you, this last time when you weren't there.
Yeah, where you were purportedly not going to be there either. Just showed up.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I was sorry you weren't there. It was fun. You feel like you are, even though not really, because the truth is, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, just rents it and they sell tickets. I don't know that you really have to be a performer of any particular level to rent it.
Right.
But
how it works at Carnegie Hall? You just rent the place?
I think you just rent it, yeah.
Oh.
It's like having a star on Hollywood Boulevard.
Doesn't that
I think you
ruin
just
the old
buy
joke?
It.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Because the old joke was, somebody asks a guy in the street, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? And the response is, practice, son, practice.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
No.
The real response is, that'll be 15,000 beans, son.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
To the best of my knowledge, anyways. I mean, I don't know. I was just asked to play there, and so I did. I don't really know how.
And I was not asked to play there this time, so I didn't.
Well, I think that was wise of you.
Yeah. Well, I thought about it, though, because I was like, well, clearly Paula said she wasn't asked, and she's on this show.
No, but, you know, the truth is, Adam, I don't really know. I write down in my book that right. I have a show.
Right.
I don't know. I don't write down where
that's
it is.
That's not knowledge. That's just, yeah, you just
write
it down.
I don't write down where it is.
Oh, you don't?
I just know.
Okay.
When I go to the airport in the morning and they say, well, you know, where are you going?
Uh-huh.
I stare at them for a second. I say, hold on. And I take out a piece of paper that wow. has that information.
Well,
on
you
it.
Do travel a lot.
I do. I travel a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
Now, it is Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
You have any big holiday plans?
What am I going to do? I'm going to try to catch up on some work.
Okay.
I'm going to continue to work out. You know, I take Taekwondo and self-defense.
And drums.
And drums. I practice the drums.
Right.
I'm going to do those things. But I'm not doing anything like holiday-esque this year.
Well, maybe I'll make it
I'm hoping somebody gives me a golden retriever puppy.
Now, that's true.
Here's how I want it. I want it in the Christmas stocking, and I come out in the morning, and there it is.
Should he be wearing a little Santa hat?
No, dogs don't like that. But okay. If he was in the stocking.
In the stocking.
Yeah.
Dogs don't like that either.
This one will.
Okay. So if you're listening, and if you happen to be Santa.
Yeah. That's yeah, that's really what I want. It doesn't have to be purebred, but no chihuahua in it, please.
There shouldn't be a chihuahua inside your new golden retriever puppy?
I don't want like a chihuahua golden retriever mix. People do that now.
Oh, I see. That's what you mean by
that. They put chihuahua in everything.
They do not.
It's like nuts that we're just trying to get rid of.
Right, because there are nuts in everything.
Oh, my God. And hot sauce.
I feel that way about raisins.
I love raisins.
Raisins sneak into every food and they don't belong.
I didn't tell you this. I love raisins.
You do?
I do.
Like you're okay with raisins and couscous and things.
I don't eat couscous, but I eat sun-made raisin bread.
Okay.
Every day that I'm home, about six slices.
Six slices.
Yeah, I have two slathered in fake butter with toast in the morning. I have two later in the day with my peanut butter and jelly on raisin bread, and then I have two more that I tell myself I'm not going to have, but I do have just before I go to bed, slathered in fake butter with cinnamon and sugar on top. So I have about six slices a day. When you go through the Fresno airport.
Yeah.
It's a company town. It's the sun-made raisin
Oh, is town. Fresno owned by Big Raisin?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's Big Raisin. So you go through the Fresno airport, there's like all sorts of ads, right? There's a glass display case of a small, medium, and large box of sun-made raisins.
Now, why would you need to have a display case of
that? I have no idea.
Because I can easily imagine what a small, medium, and large box of raisins
exactly.
might look
I've
like.
Never seen a crowd there at the glass display case.
I'm not surprised.
I've never had to say, like, excuse me, I can't see.
I'm here
can
to
you
see
move?
The raisins, yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody else, like, just run to the gate, breathless, go, oh, my God. Did you please don't close the door? I was looking at the raisins.
And I got caught up. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So the other day, I was someplace.
I'm just stymied wondering how we got to this place.
I've been talking about sun-made raisins
for almost 5 minutes now.
No, for years on stage. I've talked about sun-made raisins.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, I should have seen your act more.
And, I was at Carnegie Hall the other night. You might have seen that, but you weren't there.
I heard a little bit of it, but I wasn't there.
My mistake, you weren't there.
Yeah.
So, the
God
other day,
yes.
I met an older woman. And,
older than what?
Than me. And, we got talking, and I said, where are you from? She mentioned this small town in California. I said, I don't know where that is. She goes, it's right near Fresno. And she said, my father grew raisins, sun-made raisins, and she said, she was the sun-made raisin maid.
On the box?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was so starstruck.
See, I was about to say that story's not interesting.
Yeah.
And you have... It is now, in my mind, officially upgraded to mildly interesting.
No, it's fascinating. I'm expecting...
That's a good-looking woman on that box. It's a girl, right?
It was a young girl.
Woman or girl?
They've updated it, honestly. I don't know why they consider it more modern, but they've made her more Zoftic. She has larger breasts.
Oh, they inflated her breasts?
Well, I don't
which
know
is ironic
inflated.
For raisins, which are kind of deflated grapes. You'd think they'd want to use a woman of a certain age on the Sun Made Raisins.
No, apparently they did some, they did like market testing, and they found that a more flat-chested woman, people only ate 2 or 3 raisins, but you put like, you know, big breasts on the cover, and people would just toss back whole boxes.
Are you really serious about the Sun Made Raisins girl having bigger breasts now?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Did you and Sun Maid Maid talk about this at the airport?
No, I didn't want to tell her that she's been replaced with somebody with bigger breasts.
Well, maybe she just had an enhancement. Maybe it's the same woman with implants.
It wasn't.
Oh, it's really like a new woman.
It's a new woman.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. What I met, what I'm assuming is the original Sun Maid.
The original
Raisin Maid.
Sun Maid.
With the bonnet, and she's leaning down, harvesting.
But apparently a B cup and no longer desirable in the raisins world.
It's a tough world. Raisins is a tough world. People don't realize.
People think of fruit, and fruit is abundance, and I think you need big breasts for it. I'm sorry, lady, if you're out there listening. I think you just weren't busty enough, and that makes sense in the Sun-Made world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People, you know, with a good D cup, people will toss back whole boxes of raisins.
I don't like raisins hardly at all, but yeah, if there was like big pair of D cups on the box.
I was about to
say,
right now, if I were to offer you some raisins and I squished my breasts together so they looked like more cleavage.
Yeah, I probably, all of a sudden I want raisins. Yeah. No, point taken, absolutely.
You would ask for like 2 or 3 servings.
Yeah, well.
You'd go like, do you got any more of those raisins?
I don't know what it is about these. They're so juicy. All right, so I understand all of that.
Raisins aren't really juicy, by the way.
They're not juicy,
no,
but they're flavorful.
They've been sapped of their juice.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I suggested, you know, thing that's going to get us in trouble, that maybe women of a certain age should be the Sun Maid Maid.
put that out there.
Yeah, I'm just putting that out there because, you know, we're not getting enough angry mail these days. I don't know if this is coming out over the speakers, but I want to divert for a minute to point out that for some reason, Ray Horseman over there has been humming for the past few minutes.
Were you humming?
He's been humming.
Isn't he our sound engineer?
He's our sound engineer, and he's been humming tunes over there, and I don't know why. He's wearing headphones, so I guess he thinks that we can't hear him.
I didn't hear him until you pointed it. It seems to me that would be a drawback for an audio engineer.
You got to take your humming out of every episode that you record. But, you know, that's his business, not ours.
Yeah.
Now, Paula, since it is Christmas Eve, I feel like we have to give our listeners the gift of theme songs.
Oh, let's.
Okay, because as a lot of people know, we have this fantastic theme song contest.
Yeah.
And our listeners are just sending in the most amazing pieces of music.
And I just want to say one thing to Bruce Springsteen. It was good.
Yeah. And we haven't ruled out playing it on the show.
Yeah. And Van Morrison, you know, it sounded...
A little pitchy, dog.
It sounded a little too much like Bright Side of the Road.
Oh, did?
Yeah. It's not a little derivative,
a virtual
Van.
Rewrite.
Yeah. So I tell you what, Van, do another one and
stop
send
plagiarizing
it in.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. So the first one that we have of ones that we've deemed worthy is you might remember very recently we had the members of the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles as
they
our
were gay.
They didn't say that. They just said they were members of the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles.
All right. This is such a reveal, and they're not even here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we are outing. We're outing members of the Gay Men's Chorus. That's possibly homosexual. It's weird. Anyway, they were
that
here in studio.
That would be a great way to tell your parents, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, honey, I knew you were in that chorus.
Yeah.
But...
I'm in a show. I want you to come see it.
Actually, that would be awesome. Can you imagine?
It would be great.
Because that's like 300 guys in that chorus.
It would tell your parents. Yeah. It would tell your parents that you had pride and community.
And it could make a mighty, mighty sound. I hope you know, if you're out there and you're thinking of coming out and you have a passable voice, I would say join the Gay Men's Chorus. And then right into this show, nobody listens to Paul Poundstone at gmail.com. Let us know how that went.
Yeah.
When you invite your parents to the show. Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, But when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds, yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because when Helix first
sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux, and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
McCavity! I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
One of the members of our little house band last week from the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles is a fan of our show, and he wrote a theme song.
He wrote a wonderful theme song.
And it's holiday themed. So here it is from Kevin Held.
Should Paula Poundstone be forgot and never brought to mind? You haven't really lost a lot. This show's not worth your time. Your time is valuable, my dear. Don't waste it with us.
Oh.
Adam Felber's also here, but he's not the real genius.
It's Bonnie.
No, that's fantastic.
That is nice.
In some
Thank
ways.
You, Kevin.
But I want to say we've got this ongoing theme ever since the first person dropped me in as an afterthought in the song. Now people are getting sort of artistic about dropping me in as an afterthought. Did you hear that sort of, oh, Adam's there too? And then actually goes out of his way to say he's not the real genius.
Yeah. I thought it was nice that they mentioned you.
Yeah. Now, I didn't. Really. I think there are ways to be mentioned in which it's a little insulting.
You know, I don't... did you listen to the whole show at Carnegie Hall?
No, I didn't. I was angry that day for some reason.
I'll be honest with you.
The radio out of my car. It's really not very like me.
Your name didn't come up.
Not once. Yes, because that's the thing about... Wait, don't tell me that they say Adam Felber is not on every show.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess in some ways it's great that I'm identified as the person on...
Exactly, and that it was very nice of Kevin.
I'm going to try to keep a good attitude about this because I've been told that there are some themes that we've had that do feature me heavily in.
Yeah.
And so I haven't heard these.
Perhaps this is one of them coming up?
I'm told that this one is. I haven't heard it. It's from Nikki Adkins, and it's titled Beleaguered Blues.
Paula never listens to Adam, even though he's smart and his advice is great. Paula never listens to Adam. Why she never does, so we can't contemplate. He knows it's not tri-poly, he knows they're just balloons. He knows she'll drive him crazy, if not now, then pretty soon. Oh, Paula never listens to Adam. But nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Oh, yes, nice. Nikki. Oh, my God, Nikki Atkins, I love that. I think our theme song contest has a winner. So thanks, everybody. That's wow.
So that was awfully nice.
It is very nice. Yeah, it was all nice. Funny. She really clearly listens to the show.
Yeah.
And sees the position I'm in day to day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to make a balloon animal.
Right. Now, this is interesting because... this was referenced in the song that you you blow up balloons sometimes and call them balloon animals.
This is Nikki playing the piano.
Nikki Atkins playing the piano.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be now Nikki. If you we're going to take a picture of this.
Yeah.
What Paula is doing is she is tying a balloon that she just blew up to what is sort of a balloon sculpture that she managed to do earlier in this evening, and she's going to call it "You at the Piano." I don't know why. I really don't. Yeah. It doesn't look like anything, really.
Yeah.
But we'll put that on our website.
That's Nikki playing the piano.
Well,
you know, Adam, we've had a art expert on. Does Jackson Pollock mean nothing to you? I am the Jackson Pollock of balloon sculptures.
Yes, I would agree with that. I can leave it right there, but I'm going to jump all over
so
that.
So clearly Nikki playing the piano.
That's not Nikki playing the piano, but it is. At least it's a sculpted balloon creation, and you have come a long way with your balloon animals, I have to admit. All right, Harrison Beck has submitted a ditty he calls "Adam Wishes Paula Was Mime." According to Harrison, the song is a brief, upbeat conversation with Adam in which he wonders whether, since no one is listening to Paula Poundstone, maybe a career change is in order.
I don't know if I'm going to like this song.
That's quite a premise. I'm loving it already. Thank you. Let's hear Harrison's song.
Why, Adam Feldberg, nice to see you today. You said you had a thing to say, so give it to me straight while I've got time. Well, he said, it's not about me. This idea I've got's about Paula P. That is, what if Paula Poundstone was a mime? What if Paula Poundstone was a mime? Now I haven't lost my reason and I haven't lost my rhyme. I just think we would be more than okay, and no one listens to her anyway. I'm not saying Paula's head on a silver tray, not that I've never imagined it that way. Plus Paula loves a French beret, and no one listens to her anyway. And would it be some cataclysmic podcast crime if Paula Poundstone became a mime? But since she probably won't, I guess it's podcast time.
Wow. That is fantastic.
I love that.
Wow.
Really,
that is
thank
beautiful.
You, Harrison.
Have you had those thoughts, Adam?
About you being a mime?
Yeah, or my head on a tray?
No. No. Not. Basically not. No.
Yeah, not. No. Not, not on a tray.
Not a tray, no. Yeah. Perfectly good tray.
Wow, yeah. That
no,
was,
no, no.
That
I don't wish you were
stuff.
A mime. I do like, although I don't wish you were a mime or that your head was on a tray.
Thank you.
I do like that some of our listeners are sort of... taking up my cause a little bit because to this point, most of those theme songs were kind of insulting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sucks to be you, Felber.
No, not anymore. Not that I've got I've got Harrison Beck on my side and Nikki Atkins.
Yeah. No, you're accruing quite a team.
Yeah, I really am. We don't have a theme song yet. I mean, those are two strong candidates, I think, or three strong candidates.
Yeah.
That we've got
and
there.
I just want to say, Beyonce, you know what?
Oh, this is sad. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was good. It's it's the cursing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we
honestly,
can have that.
You
kind
don't
of...
do that on your records, and yet you think you could do that around here?
Yeah. I don't think you can't that kind of cursing in the theme song. Maybe it's just not the right way to kick the show off.
It didn't even really sound like a theme song. It sounded like you were just telling us to go fuck ourselves. So, which I think
it was certainly a good,
it was
good
a nice effort,
good
yeah.
try.
Yeah,
and I, you know what?
It.
And I want to thank Jay-Z for helping her out with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. he apparently agreed with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people might have thought that that wasn't even a theme song submissions so much as a phone message that we received from Beyonce and Jay-Z.
You don't think that accidentally went into the theme song pile when it was supposed to be a review?
It was a review or a message, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Quite possible that that was not, that was their opinion of us, yeah, rather than their...
You know, I still want to say, you know, thanks to both you, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Because it sounded good.
For listening, absolutely. Yeah. And
you're aware of us. That's what matters, really.
Yeah. I think Rihanna's lyrics were more loving.
Yes, they were. They were. Yeah. They didn't wish us dead or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she didn't want my head on a platter.
But yeah, Rihanna, we'll be thinking about yours too. Anyway, it's now time for that segment that you and I love so much. It's movie reviews to save you the trouble of seeing the sequel. Oh, thank you, Jorge Reyes. Paula, nice. It is the holiday movie season, and we could have chosen a number of movies, but we decided to go with Bumblebee, which hits theaters on December 21st, a couple days ago by the time people are hearing this. Now, Bumblebee is part of a gigantic movie franchise, Transformers. So, to help people...
I didn't even know that there was more than one. No, I guess I knew there was a Transformer 2.
Right.
I didn't know that they'd gone before that. But Transformer 1
right.
is where Adam and I... started.
Yeah, we like to do that. Like when we did our advice about Creed 2 just a month or so ago, we went and watched the original Rocky to let you know if you should see Creed 2.
Now, I know there was a Creed 1, but that didn't begin the story. So last night, Adam and I watched. Yeah.
Yeah. And we watched the original Transformers.
And so for those of you who haven't yet taken the leap, I want to tell you that it begins with, what do you call that, like a prologue? Optimus Prime, who is the head transformer.
The head good robot.
He's a robot that turns into a car and then turns back into a robot many times. Yeah, he's a big shiny truck. He explains in the beginning of the film, like the genesis of the Transformers.
Yes.
And they had enemy robots that they've been...
Decepticons.
Tussling with over many years.
Eons.
Frankly, yeah. I didn't understand all of what Optimus Prime said, but one of the things that I noticed right off the bat...
Yeah, you wrote it down when it happened.
Well, he said, we know not...
where it came from. Yeah, he was talking about the...
But what
the
I noticed
cube.
Was that was the only time he said the words in the wrong order.
Yeah.
He said it
he
as if
all
he was
Shakespearean on us.
Right. As if
to start
he was
off.
From another era. And uh-huh. then after that, he was all caught up. He said, we know not. And yet the rest of the words were in the right order. So he explains the backstory of this supposedly these robots that are trying to live in a world of peace.
Right.
And yet when you meet the robots, two or three of them, their forearms are actually guns.
Yeah.
Which it seems to belie a little bit.
It's very NRA-y. Like you know, the only thing to stop a bad robot with a gun is a good robot with a gun. Seems to be the giant robot with a gun.
Yeah. I don't see how you can be a species that mm-hmm. Only desires to live in peace when your forearms are actually guns.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to
me.
Well,
let's re-rack it a little bit, because this is a 2007 movie directed by Michael Bay, and it is based on the popular line of Hasbro toys that have been around since the 70s,
right.
Which were Transformers. They're more than meets the eye. They were like toy cars that turned
I don't think they've been around since the 70s, by the way. They didn't have them when I was little.
Maybe the 80s?
Yeah, maybe the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's, right, it'll be a little toy car, and then you can flex some of the pieces on it, and then it turns into a robot. And,
yes.
I drive a Prius, for example.
Right.
Also turns into...
it doesn't.
It turns into a container of soy milk.
It doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be a very unpopular toy for a kid, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, if you fold up your car, it turns into a canister of soy milk.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Worst Christmas ever.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, toddlers in Berkeley love it.
They do. That's surprising. No, but here's the thing that happened, is that this movie comes out, and it stars the amazing Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox. It came out in 2007. It grossed $706 $1 million worldwide. And that it was
and
a lot of money.
That doesn't even
back
include
then,
the $4 you paid to watch it last night, right?
Yeah, I actually paid $40 yeah, so that we so now it's seven.
Tack that on.
Yeah, exactly. 706 million and change. That
it's a
gross.
Hard movie to follow because there's these robots show themselves in a variety of locations, mm-hmm. Sort of say, like the bad guy robots show themselves in a variety of locations at the same time, kind of. The first place that you see them as a viewer is they show up in Qatar, where the American military battles them. And you can tell it's Qatar because in the background, you can see Jared Kushner begging for money.
Yeah. So, which was prescient, I think.
Yeah.
Because he was much younger back in then.
And then it somehow hooks up to, let's see, Shia LaBeouf's
grandfather or great grandfather apparently discovered the frozen Decepticon leader in the Arctic ice, and the Decepticon's location and the location of the thing that they're looking for was ended up being projected on the spectacles, which Shia LaBeouf still owns of his grandfather's
So he
spectacles.
Had his grandfather's glasses, and they had somehow...
That became the MacGuffin of the movie. Like, everybody needs... The evil and good robots need these glasses.
Right, so they were all chasing down these glasses that Shia LaBeouf, you know, didn't even realize the value of what
he was trying
had.
To sell them on eBay. That's
and
how them...
that's how they found. It was through a computer search.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, there
and
was a lot of things that didn't make
And you enjoyed the
sense.
Movie.
I actually did enjoy the movie. I'll tell you what
this
I did.
This was stunning me because you've been to my house and I've shown you what I thought were some pretty good movies.
Like, oh, come on.
I thought Pacific Rim was a good sci-fi movie.
Okay, Pacific Rim, which was just unbearable. And then what was the other thing that you liked with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I didn't love it, but Predator, the first Predator movie.
You liked Predator.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was
And then we watched Rocky together.
It was Predator was all but unwatchable. What's funny is when Adam first showed me Pacific Rim, he was pretty sure I would like it because he said, no, it's really pretty good film.
Yeah, we don't have to dwell on that. That was a long time ago.
It was a couple of months ago.
It was directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, that makes all the difference.
It did, I thought. And even Rocky.
But I mean, what's funny is while we're watching Transformers last night, Adam says, well, it's somehow not believable. And yet Predator and Pacific Rim were science-based, were they?
I'm not saying they were science-based, but I'm saying that in both of those movies, the world had its own internal logic that maybe you could respect. Like, if it were scientifically possible for A to happen, then B could possibly happen.
No. Pacific Rim is so awful. It's so trite.
I can't believe you could stack that up next to Transformers.
Transformers was entertaining. First of all, the people who played Shia LaBeouf's parents were so funny.
Shia LaBeouf's parents were really funny.
Bernie Mac plays a used car salesman that sells the car that is the one that Bumblebee, that turns into a robot, and that's how Shia LaBeouf gets involved with the robots.
Absolutely, and that's a
Bernie
good 90 Mac, seconds in a 2.5 hour movie.
Bernie Mac was so funny.
He was very funny.
Yeah. Well, but that's more than... Pacific Rim didn't have any minutes.
I don't agree. But you see, I do think that this is...
Tell me 1 minute that was worth watching.
I'm not
going to
tell
Rim.
You 1 minute because you're just going to say, no, it wasn't.
You know, you can't even think of it.
I loved lots of Pacific Rim.
But tell me what minute was worth watching in Pacific Rim.
How about the end where they managed to get into that little rift at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, and you get a glimpse into that horrifying world where all the kaiju are coming from, and then it gets blown up.
No, that was stupid.
See, that's why I didn't want to tell you this.
Okay, one of the only things there are plenty of things I didn't like. The final fight scene in Transformers just went on forever, and you couldn't tell one monster or one robot apart from the other.
Yeah, I think the robot designs were a little bit bad in that they all kind of looked the same. I don't want to be robotist about this, but they do kind of all look the same, the good ones and the bad ones.
Yeah, it was very difficult to follow the final silly, stupid fight scene that went on forever.
But here's the thing, and I think this is the thing about Michael Bay movies, and I think this is why they do so well. They never add up to complete movies, but there's something in there for everybody. You got your funny scene with the parents of the teenager. That was really funny.
It was really funny.
And the little kids who came to saw it got to see big robot battles and gags where robots pee on people.
Yeah.
And the teenagers there got to watch endless shots of sweaty, glowing Megan Fox, half-dressed.
Yeah, Megan Fox was
something for everybody
painful
in the movie.
To watch. First of all, she had so much lip gloss that I was watching the credits at the end of the show to see, like, was there a person that just did the lip gloss? Because the lip gloss budget on this film.
Well, the other scientist lady was very glossy, too.
There was another very glossy lady. But Megan Fox had so much lip gloss that at one point Shia LaBeouf kisses her and he just slips off.
Yeah. Yeah, he just slides it because she's that.
Yeah. She could have gotten away from all those bad robots. She could have just
kissed them.
Lunged at them with her lips and slid off.
Her lips were glossy.
They were now, really glossy.
I think she's very attractive, so that was something, like, when she was on the screen, I was like, well, at least there's an attractive person on the screen.
There, so you had that going for
and
yourself.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how Michael Bay does. That's what he do.
No,
he do that.
That's not, but you know, it's so funny. So Adam's son, Baz, was there when I got to their house last night, and he was talking to me about Michael Bay films.
Yeah.
And Adam has so indoctrinated his son that he would say, like, yeah, Michael Bay films are always bad things happen to Michael Bay films. Like, no, what kid knows this shit?
I was not talking to him about Michael Bay films.
He picked that up on the street?
He did.
He did.
Here's
not.
Here's the thing. Among his friends, there are things that you wouldn't think are things that they joke about, but because of the various YouTube videos they watch, Justin Bieber being a dick is one that my kid picked up when he was in second grade. And Michael Bay's films being nothing but endless explosions is something that kids joke about. That
kids do not joke about Michael Bay films.
Well, I don't joke about Michael Bay films.
No, it was so clearly.
They never come up in my house.
It was like mini me, Adam. It was like a little Adam Felber walking around.
It was not.
It was too. He is. He's mini me.
I swear to you, I've never spoken to my son about Michael Bay films.
Why would I? Even the way when we go to talk about the movie, you're like, Michael Bay does it. He's not the only director that ever had, like, a babe with lip gloss that didn't have a lot of, you know, that there wasn't a lot of use for.
That's true. You know what my objection to this movie is?
What?
After we could stop accusing me of indoctrinating my son with anti-Michael Bay vibes, is that one thing I did notice is that, and it really bugged me, and I kept noticing it to you, and I couldn't get you to buy into this.
What's that?
The sweating.
Oh, they
every character in that movie, in every environment, was covered in sweat.
Adam, the whole world was threatened.
Like on Air Force One, where they presumably have good climate control, everybody was glossy with sweat, even before the crisis.
No, there was no before the crisis. Air Force One, they were up there from the very start. Bad things had happened. Remember that little...
But nobody knew about the little thing crawling around on Air Force One. The president was literally lying back in bed with his socks up asking for ding-dongs. It wasn't really the highest stress moment. And yet even the woman
the second
who took the
George
order...
Bush.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the second George Bush, clearly. But even the woman taking that ding-dong order and going down to the kitchen, the galley to get
ding-dong. She was sweaty?
She was sweaty.
No,
everybody's
I think that's
glowing.
Very realistic.
Really?
Yeah. No, you know what? That's high-pressure work, working
but
for the president.
Everybody in the movie, Bernie Mac, Megan Fox, Shia LaBeouf, just sweating.
Part of the film took place in Qatar.
Yes, part of the film did take
place
in Qatar.
It's very hot there.
Part of the film took place inside the Hoover Dam, where they were super cooling the evil robot to keep it from thawing, and they were sweating there too.
But there was an evil robot that was thawing. The whole world was at risk.
I'm not buying this. No.
When the Earth is threatened, you're going to be cool as a cucumber. Everybody else is going to be running around sweating, and Adam Felber's just going to be reviewing Michael Bay, sipping a soda, cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, maybe that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, but I got to say, I think that was a way that he conveys tension and immediacy, is that everybody's moist all the time.
It's not a bad way.
It seems to work for him because he's done 5 and now 6 of these.
Certainly worked in Caligula.
What?
Tension and urgency with everybody being moist.
Oh, okay. So you're referring to the film Caligula.
Yes.
Which was an X-rated epic from the 70s or something. And
yeah, your son talked to me about it last night.
He did not.
Yeah, I did. Kids.
He's 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Adam.
I speak about Caligula possibly less than Michael Bay in my household.
No, but kids now love to make Caligula jokes.
I see what you're doing here.
Because they go on YouTube and they watch no, clips of Caligula.
They don't.
They do.
No.
And they make a lot of jokes about it. In fact, your son was making some sort of art project last night. I don't know if you looked closely
I
at
didn't.
It.
I didn't. What was it? A diorama of Caligula?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the way you think, but you're just wrong. All right, let's get back to the movie, because my parenting skills are unimpeachable.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look. It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So you were enjoying parts of the movie.
I did. It was very funny.
There were funny parts. I will say that. I was put off by so many aspects of it.
What's unbelievable to me is that and he kept saying that last night. He's like, "Well, this isn't believable. I can't believe Michael Bay does this with his films." And all the piece of shit stuff you've made me watch. whereas before we watched Halloween, he's like, "This is a good film."
Yes. All right. You know what?
Halloween is not a good film.
I am willing to be judged. If you're out there listening and you're wondering who has a better sense of films, Paula is stacking Transformers 1 ahead of Halloween, Rocky, and Pacific Rim.
Not necessarily ahead of Rocky, but
you said so last night.
But by miles ahead of Pacific Rim and what was that? Predator and Halloween. I mean,
these are classic movies.
These are classic
movies, no. And Transformer 1 is not.
And this asshole didn't like White Christmas. See what I mean?
Oh, this is really about White Christmas, isn't it? All right, for our listeners, I watched White Christmas just so we could talk about it in the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and he kept saying, nothing blew up. It wasn't good.
I didn't say that. I said I didn't really enjoy the movie, and it kind of put me to sleep because I thought it was a terrible plot.
Yeah, that's a terrible plot, but Predator, that's rich.
Yeah, well, Halloween. At least something happens.
Yeah. Things happened in White Christmas. How can you say things didn't happen?
Well, here's the thing. When you're writing a story, I mean, like, when I think of stories that I like, somebody makes a plan, and something goes wrong, and they have to make a new plan, and they have to improvise, and they, you know, sometimes things blow up, and sometimes they don't.
Do you mind if I write this down? This is good.
My point is, in White Christmas,
I put Guillermo del Toro behind this. I'm going to be rich.
Bing Crosby, who can't act, Very well. And Danny Kaye come up with a plan like halfway through the movie, maybe even a third of the way through the movie.
They didn't need a plan before that.
I know, but they
came up. You don't just make up a plan before you need it.
Of course not.
You don't just in the middle of the night go, let's get out of here.
No.
If you don't need to evacuate.
They made up a plan to make their old commanding officer's life a little better.
Yes.
And then they do that plan, and it works. End of movie.
Are you still sick?
No, no, no.
You sound
kind of gagging
raspy
as I talk about White Christmas.
No, you still sound sick.
I'm a little throaty.
Adam has been denying that he had ever been sick, and I just want to say this.
You're making up so much shit about me today.
Three of my cats, my cat Clue, my cat Hardy, and my cat Jem, all had upper respiratory infections after I worked with Adam Felber.
That feels to me like two unrelated facts. Because, you know what?
I
had my upper respiratory infection a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
After I'd met your cats.
No, you had not met my cat. No, I went home after working with you, and I pet my cat. I remember I was talking to Clue. I said, never watch Halloween. And
it's a very good horror movie.
No, it's a horrible movie.
All right. So back to Transformers for just a minute. But I honestly think it's kind of a piece of crap, that first movie.
Imagine.
2.5 hours, too.
Yeah.
And
that
most
was
of,
kind
most
of,
of robots
cut,
fighting.
Yeah, you could have cut
and
a lot of
that. And mumbo jumbo with
you
the defense secretary and colorful hacker characters that we've seen in a bunch of movies before.
I've never seen those characters. But John Voight was in it, and John Voight was very good. He played the Secretary of Defense, was it not?
He was the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah. And he kept name dropping Angelina Jolie.
Was he? See, I didn't notice that part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there were some very entertaining actors in it. John Turturro is in it.
Yeah.
John Turturro is in it, and to show you the caliber of movie that we're talking about, he gets, he tries to bust the kids, and then the kids get defended by the robots, and the kids make him strip down to his comically colorful underwear.
Yeah.
And that's a big funny moment. It's one of the funny moments. I think he also gets peed on by a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are not great cinematic moments, are my point.
No, but there were others. Okay, my point is...
There were like four pee jokes.
Here's how I need to review it. Even Transformers is better than most of the shit Adam's made me watch.
Wow. And some of the shit I've made you watch is stuff that you suggested watching, like Rocky, the first Rocky movie.
The first Rocky movie's good.
Okay. But it's no Transformers. Okay, so, Paula, here's what we do.
Adam's here now. Every day now. Okay, what? Sorry.
It's time for the verdict. Now, this movie Bumblebee is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And reviewers are actually very enthusiastic about this new movie Bumblebee. Say, one reviewer said, this is the Transformers movie that we have deserved all this time. As though we've deserved a good Transformers.
Yeah, exactly.
Movie.
I love that. That is one of those people that thinks that we deserve
a good
Transformers movie.
A good movie about Transformers.
It's clearly somebody that played with Transformers when they were a kid.
Right.
And they thought when they first heard the movie was coming out, oh boy, this is going to be great.
Right. And then was disappointed.
Yeah.
I think you've described a lot of America just there. But okay, so. Talking to those people out there.
That was like, when I was a kid, I liked the game Operation.
Uh-huh.
And if they ever made an Operation movie.
Which I'm sure is in the works.
Where a guy just keeps having surgery.
And only having things taken out.
Yeah.
Nothing ever gets fixed.
They take out his wishbone. They take out his spare ribs.
Yeah.
They take out his broken heart.
Yeah, you think they would put him together again?
That was a great game.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And it would make it equally a good movie as the Transformers movies, I think. Yeah. But it's time for advice. Based on your experience of Transformers, would you recommend that our audience see Bumblebee?
I would not recommend seeing Bumblebee.
What?
I do recommend seeing Bumblebee.
I mean, it is the movie that we watched.
I didn't see the money right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do recommend. Reviewers like it's the Transformer movie we deserve. Only in America do we deserve a Transformer movie.
Yeah, I think I agree with that reviewer that Bumblebee is the Transformers movie that we deserve. And I think that people shouldn't see it.
You think people shouldn't see it?
No, because I don't think any of those movies are any good.
Yeah.
There'd be no reason to think that the next one is.
Right. They should rewatch Predator.
Wow. So that's the verdict on Transformers. It's a thumbs down from me for Bumblebee, and for you it's a...
It's a thumbs up from me.
It's a thumb... This is the first movie you've given a thumbs up on our podcast.
Yeah.
The first one.
Transformer.
You even gave a thumbs down to Rocky.
Yeah. Transformers.
They're more than meets the eye, apparently. I didn't see it, but Paula Poundstone did. So if you're out there, at least one of us thinks you should go see Bumblebee. Oh, thank you so much, house band. Jorge Reyes, Paula, for this special Christmas Eve vacation show, and I'm starting to feel really Christmassy. I'm having a good time. Are you having
a great time.
Me too. Now, we've reached out to our listeners to find out, what present did you hammer your parents for as a kid, and was it worth it? So let's reach into the mailbag and see what we've got. Jorge Reyes, can we have some mailbag music? Thank you, Jorge Reyes. Paula, our first letter is from Kay Bellotti Taylor from Ronkonkoma, New York.
From where?
Ronkonkoma.
Ronkonkoma?
You don't know Ronkonkoma?
I never heard of Ronkonkoma.
Oh, it's on Long Island. It's a major stop on the Long Island Railroad. Ronkonkoma.
It's just a silly name. Ronkonkoma.
Yes, yes. I'm sure that the Native Americans that it was named after thought it was silly as hell, too.
Oh, is it named after Native Americans?
Most things on Long Island are, yeah.
I see. It just sounded like something somebody made up.
Oh, no, every culture can come up with silly names. All right. But Kay Bellotti Taylor writes, beautiful Chrissy grow hair doll. Oh, how I love that doll. Till my annoying little sister got mad at me for something and cut off all of her hair.
Oh, I remember little Chrissy. You push a button on her back and her hair grew. You could like pull the hair long.
Would you then push it again to retract
the
hair?
I think that's probably what you did. There must have been a hair retracting thing, unless it was just one of those disposable dolls.
Yeah, I doubt it was. Nothing was disposable in those days. Tony Anita Hall is nodding enthusiastically that there was a hair retraction feature on the doll.
Gosh. I do. Beautiful Chrissy. I still make references where I say Beautiful Chrissy. That was a landmark doll.
And so this woman's sister cutting off the hair is just it's a finky thing to do.
Yeah, that's a low life move. My sisters, I used to have, I had a big stuffed animal collection, and my sisters used to make them, would sort of animate them. They would make them talk. But what they did was, and I was the youngest, so what they did was, I was the mother of all of the stuffed animals, and I was married to a giant stuffed frog named Frog, and I wasn't all that creative. And, our last name was Peterson. It was Frog Peterson. And all the other animals were my children. And my sisters would make them be sort of fractious characters. So they would always make the kids be my...
Wow.
They would make them be demanding. They would make them argumentative.
Wow. Did that prepare you for later life a little bit?
I had no idea what was coming. I had a doll called Tatters. And you pulled a string and she said, my name is Tatters. What's the matter? She was very...
You can't pin that on your sister.
She was very sort
doll.
Of esoteric. But her nose was sewn on.
Okay.
It was like a little bead, a little plastic bead. And the plastic bead had a seam around it. And my sisters would make her want to... She would always say, I want to kiss you. And when she would kiss me, they would scratch my face with the plastic seam.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Wow, that's super specific.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. My name is Tatters. What's the matter?
And then you get scratched. So you hear that and your face hurts,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't very nice at all. Yeah, wow, it's better than Halloween, though. Yeah.
Now,
so,
did you have a present that you wanted really badly and lobbied for really hard?
Oh, I cried. I had like a fuss in a store over the game Operation.
Oh, it was Operation?
I really wanted
that. Was your
Operation.
Lobbying for thing.
Yeah, yeah. I really wanted it. And I have to say, when my parents... I think that what happened was they'd even already bought, like Santa Claus had already gotten it for me, but you know, I didn't know that. So, I gotta say, it met all of my expectations.
It was a great game.
It. Yeah.
All right, your answer is
and
yes.
And if, you know, I didn't go to medical school, but I can remove things.
Okay.
So, if you're, you know, if you're considering becoming a doctor, but you can't afford all the training, I suggest that you start off at least with operation.
I think that's a terrible idea. all right, Ann Wason.
Now that my doctor retired,
yeah, we did cover that in a recent show. In fact, yeah. your doctor and the first doctor that you really ever had.
Yeah, she
retired recently.
Yeah, I guess she had gotten me so healthy.
Yeah.
That she decided
that's
to
hurtful.
Quit.
Ann Wason Fornaciero from Mesa, Arizona, did not love her present quite as much as Kay did. She writes, "I wanted baby crawl along, and I got it. Now was that doll a disappointment? She was mechanical and made the loudest noise as she crawled along. I lost interest immediately."
All right, I just want to say, Anne, you got a doll called Baby Crawl Along, and you didn't think it was going to be mechanical?
That's a reasonable point right there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I would say, Anne, don't have kids.
What?
Yeah.
That's a big jump.
Well, the doll was disappointing because it made noise
while
it crawled.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I got bad news for you about kids.
They don't make mechanical noises, most kids.
Mine did.
Okay.
And the other thing is, you know, you're lucky it was just crawling.
What do you mean?
Oh, because once they walk.
Oh, you mean you once again segued to real children?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or dolls.
Or dolls. Yeah, well, dolls don't walk, really.
Oh, some dolls walk.
Do they really?
Sure.
Which ones?
The baby walk along.
Baby walk along. Is there a baby walk along, Paula?
Yeah, there is. There's baby walk along.
Really? And walks on 2 feet?
Yeah, it does.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's called baby walk along.
Uh huh. And there's.
I could Google that now and I'd find a doll, a bipedal doll.
Don't Google it.
Because it's just. You know, the motion of walking is very, very hard. I mean, robotics firms work on it very hard all the time. I just...
Yeah, she makes grunting noises.
Oh, okay. Well,
baby walk along.
Okay.
I wouldn't get that one if I were you, Ann. There's a lot of dolls that show...
That does remind me of a pretty funny story. My oldest child, Baz, who you know quite well.
Yes, he's a big Michael Bay fan.
He's not a Michael Bay fan, but he has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
In any case.
Yeah, because all fifth graders sit around talking about the directors of films.
I think it's just got to be a meme on the internet. They must be watching YouTube.
No, kids don't talk about film
There's
directors.
There's no world in which I would have been talking to my son about Michael Bay. I hate to go back into this, but like, what
kids
context
would
I? Kids
don't talk about film directors. No kids sit around and talk about film directors. And in the fifth grade, they just don't.
Okay.
You know, like, oh. I think you know,
if you're out there and you've got a kid around the age of 10 or so who watches a lot of, top 10 lists and stuff on YouTube and has a lot of friends, just, let us know if I'm right about this Michael Bay thing, that kids make jokes about Michael Bay movies.
Yeah. I enjoyed the heck out of the Emoji film. Wasn't that well directed? That's the kind of things kids say.
I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And I'm very much against it.
I didn't get the motivation of the poop emoji, did you?
Yeah. This is feeling like an attack.
All right.
For Jack Stevens, our listener, it sounds like he wanted one thing that he never received. He writes, quote, "I never really hammered my parents for anything. I used a knife."
He didn't write that.
No, I improvised that. Yeah. I never really hammered my parents for anything, but I did want a bike. I got one for Christmas and was very pleased, but I secretly wanted an Easy Bake oven. My parents did get me a Poodle stationery set. I was sending out signals early on. I like that letter a lot.
Am I interpreting this correctly?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was saying, one way or the other, that he was sending out signals. I'm guessing that perhaps he was gay, or had a different gender identity.
Let me just say this: when his parents saw him in the gay men's chorus,
yes,
they didn't go no,
but they did go, I don't know. Man, we should have gotten that Easy Bake oven.
Yeah, no. I think that's really funny.
I think it's really cute. There's so many cute details buried in here.
Yeah, like, he wanted a Poodle stationery set.
Well, they did get him a Poodle stationery set, so clearly they were onto something, is what he's saying.
I don't know. But do you think that's really a gender identifying thing, a Poodle stationery set?
I think just about any stationery set is a gender identifying thing.
Do you really?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, I don't, yeah.
You're not a man of letters.
I am, in fact, a man of letters.
I have,
and if my parents had gotten me a stationery set, I would have left home.
You know, I have a book of Charles Dickens letters.
Yeah.
You'd think he had 10 kids.
He would have left home if his parents had gotten him stationary.
No, I think... I think
like, if you're a cisgender male, you probably don't want stationary for Christmas. I think that's just pretty axiomatic.
Well, how do you know he didn't already have everything else there was to want?
Well,
and his parents said, what's the one thing this kid doesn't have? He said, oh, you know what? Get him a poodle stationary.
Well, they could have gotten him... They could have gotten him an easy bake oven, but apparently they didn't.
Because that's dangerous.
Poodle stationary, though.
Easy bake ovens used to be dangerous.
They used to be very dangerous because they were just basically you plugged it into a wall and a wire inside burnt your little bread pan, right?
Your hand. Yeah. A lot of kids that learned to
cook. So he's probably
cook.
Better off they didn't have the easy bake oven. But yeah. I'm going to stand by the straight cisgender male antipathy for stationary.
I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah.
Guys like a nice stationery, don't
they? We don't want it for Christmas. It's also like, you see this with traditionally boys and girls when it comes to clothes on Christmas. There are some, like my sister would occasionally get some clothes and be really happy with clothes on Christmas.
Yeah.
For me, I'd rather have been poisoned.
Than to get clothes?
Than to get the disappointment of opening up a present and there's a sweater in there.
Yeah. Well, then what could they get you?
Games. Toys.
Games,
books.
Toys. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the stuff I liked. Mm-hmm. Games, toys, books.
Yeah.
Sporting equipment.
Yeah. Like you liked that toy stationery set that you had.
No, if it was toy stationery, I didn't want it. I didn't want it.
It wasn't real station. It wasn't a real stationery set. It was a toy stationery set, and that's why you liked it so much.
No. Nothing involving stationery would have jazzed me as a young boy. It just wouldn't have worked.
You wanted a real oven.
I didn't want an easy bake oven either. I feel like we're covered.
This is a beautiful story, Jack Stevens.
Yeah,
Thank you for sharing this letter, Jack Stevens.
And it was really well written, too. I feel like the details, he doesn't linger on them too long. He just kind of lets us know what was happening. Lastly, we have some mail all the way from Budapest, Hungary.
All right.
Yeah. They love us in Hungary. And Jan Knox wrote in, I wanted a Roy Rogers guitar. Got it. Loved it. And was absolutely shocked that I didn't know how to play it. I love that, too.
Yeah. Adam felt the same way when he got his toy stationery and he didn't know how to write.
Not a single part of that is true. This is not a single one. But I do identify.
That takes you back to that disappointing year, doesn't it?
Yeah. I do identify.
I remember before you ran to your room, you said, it's not even real stationery.
Slam. I am going to write an epistolary novel about how disappointed I am in you. Slam. That's what happened in my house.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that disappointing Christmas.
You do?
Yeah.
Because we haven't known each other that long. Anyway, I love the Roy Rogers guitar thing because I understand that feeling that kids have that once they get the instrument, they'll be able to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been taking drum lessons for a few years, and I'm still blown away that I can't play.
Now, I think you probably can play at this point.
Not really.
Really?
No.
Like if I laid down a simple blues progression, you wouldn't be able to keep time for 2 or 3 minutes?
A what?
Well said. Well said. Now, remember, everybody, it doesn't have to be Christmas for you to write into us. You can write to us anytime at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com, and you can visit us on Facebook at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone. Frequently, we'll be asking little questions there on Facebook, like the ones that we were just soliciting right there. Cat of the Week this Christmas is Helen from Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, do you have a long road trip ahead of you, or did you miss a flight and you're stuck at the airport? Never fear, Maximum Fun is here. Take a listen to some of our other offerings from the Maximum Fun Network.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, I love.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1 or, weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
Hey, gang. This is Jesse, and I am joined by Bikram, the managing director of Maximum Fun.
Hi, everyone.
So we have some really amazing news to close out 2018. After this spring's pledge drive, we gave members the chance to buy enamel pins with the full profits of those sales going to the National Immigration Law Center.
This is a tough time to be an immigrant in the United States. As individuals, as a company, and as a community, we wanted to help provide resources for immigrants in the face of these attacks.
We're proud to live in a nation of immigrants, and many of us here at Max Fun are immigrants or the children of immigrants ourselves.
Together, we raised over $100,000.
NILC will put that money to good use, providing legal representation to immigrants and their families who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford it.
We are so proud of our community for making such an immense difference in so many lives.
And whether you bought pins or not, you can help the NILC advocate for immigrants right now. All you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org/NILC. That's MaximumFun.org/NILC.
Our thanks go to all of you who made this possible.
Great work, everybody, and happy holidays from all of us at Max Fun.
Thank you, houseband Jorge Reyes. That's really fantastic. Paula, where are you traveling to these days?
I will be in San Francisco on New Year's Eve at the Norse, Boise, Idaho, January 17th at the Egyptian Theater, and in Houston, Texas on January 18th at the Wortham Theater Center.
Now, if you want to see if Paula is coming to your neck of the woods in the days to come, check out her website, www.paulapoundstone.com.
You can follow me and Adam on Twitter and on Instagram, which I've almost entirely learned how to do.
Really? You do Instagram now?
I've been posting some things on Instagram.
What have you posted? Tell our listeners what you posted.
Well, I posted a picture of Carnegie Hall from the stage.
Really?
Yeah,
I saw that one.
Yeah. Adam Felber was nowhere to be found in that photograph.
Weird. Yeah, I thought we both knew that neither of us were going to be in that one. But
I did post a picture of the Sacramento airport, a little film. It wasn't just a picture. It was a little video.
A video.
Of all the people who were there to greet me.
To greet you?
When I arrived. All the fans that were there to greet me when I arrived.
And how many were there?
None.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Some other kind of video there. You get off the plane and wave like you're the Beatles arriving in New York
like
in
1964. Barry Manilow or something, and just nothing.
Just didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to pretend. Like, come down the escalator, you know, from into the baggage claim, you know, I'm waving and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds really funny. Yeah. I want to see that. I'm also a little curious about why you went for Barry Manilow.
Because he used to have his own plane.
Oh, okay. He did.
Yeah.
It just seemed odd to me.
Because, people used to, it was a long time ago. I don't think it was recently. But
did people freak out on the tarmac for Barry Manilow the way they did for the Beatles or for other rock stars?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Did you know that originally they paid people to shout for the Beatles? Did you know
that?
No. They also did with The Who? And I think they did with the Rolling Stones.
Well,
and I believe they did with Elvis, too. Their managers, their promoters, they paid people
to lose
scream.
Their minds.
Yep. Yeah.
But I think a lot of that Beatle hysteria was real, right?
I mean, it caught on. I guess what I'm saying is if you'd like.
You just got bored and went for the script. Then realized you had no idea where we were in the script.
No. What I was saying is I'm encouraging listeners that if you would like to come to the airport or come to my shows and scream and cry for me, I'll slip you a couple of bucks.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Sure. See, I thought you were reaching for the next line. No, that's a really nice sentiment.
I wasn't reaching for the next line.
Because it is your line.
Oh, is it? Where is it?
Oh, it's... Oh, no, it's mine! And if you need a last-minute gift, visit maxfunstore.com for a Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone t-shirt.
You know, isn't it Christmas Eve?
It is Christmas Eve. This would be super last minute.
If you need a last minute gift, yeah, you've blown it already.
You really have.
If you want to do your shopping early for next year,
yeah,
contact.
I would say not only that, if you did just open your laptop after hearing this on Christmas Eve, you do need a last minute present, you're a bad person.
I mean, I don't think that makes them a bad person.
I mean, come on, it's Christmas Eve, and they're sitting thinking, what do I have to do today? I don't know. I guess I'll just listen to a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
A podcast on which, for the last hour, we've been mentioning that Christmas is tomorrow.
Well, you know what, though? Maybe they're just looking for gift ideas, and so they're listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Well, do you have any gift ideas besides our t-shirts?
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing we haven't talked about.
Poodle stationery.
For boys or girls?
It's not gender specific.
No, but I think if it's a straight cisgender male, I really feel like my advice is good.
What is a cisgender male? What does that mean?
That means that a male who identifies, who feels like he's the right gender for his body shape.
Oh my God, it's a confusing world.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
But don't get those people stationary, please.
No, get the poodle stationery. That's very popular this year.
It isn't.
It is. It's taken off.
All right.
You know, Adam, I have a great idea for a holiday gift.
Oh, you do?
And you know what? And don't worry if it's a couple of days late. It's such a good gift that people will be happy to receive it no matter what day it comes.
And what gift is that, Paula Poundstone?
You can give the amazing gift of one of my remarkably soft tri-poly blend shirts with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah, that makes for a nice Christmas.
You know, a grinchy guy might point out that tri-poly blend isn't a thing, and what you're talking about is a tri-blend cotton rayon polyester shirt. But it's Christmas. And I want to say, Paula Poundstone, we have been doing this podcast now. We started doing demos almost exactly a year ago.
Has it been a year?
It's been almost a year. And the podcast itself hit about 6 months ago. And this has been, doing this podcast with you has been a great present for me all year round.
Me too, Adam. Thank you
so much. Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you too. And I just want to do one quick tribute to my manager.
Oh yeah, you know, as long as we're giving presents, can I take part in that too, Bonnie?
Yeah,
Bonnie Burns.
My manager, who makes a crinkly sound everywhere she goes.
I want you to try to think about something very important in your life right now. Imagine that this is really, really important. That you remember a detail or something. Yeah.
And here's a little tribute to our sound engineer.
I don't understand why Ray Horse was humming. Because it really seemed like Jorge Reyes had the music covered. And you know, Tony Anita Hall, we got you this wonderful dog. So everybody here in the studio gets a little holiday present.
This is, everyone's gotten what they wanted.
Yeah, it's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
That's what I was thinking after we watched Transformers last night. It was a Christmas miracle.
Was it?
That we stayed awake till the end of that movie. All right, I think it's time to drown myself in a vat of eggnog. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, the same Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lazebnik, which is French for the Zebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Jorge Reyes on the saxophone. Thanks to our head of security, Ryan the Grinch Gabernetti, who in point of fact left before we started recording this episode.
Yeah, we're going to get the shit beaten out of us when we leave this building.
No doubt. That's going to be our Christmas miracle if we get home alive. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, just use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Merry Christmas. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Look, it's snowing.
Ba-da-ba.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.